I talked with the Lord many nights by my bedside. I asked His forgiveness as I knelt to pray. And if I could repay, I'd be only too willing. For He died on the cross just to save me from sin. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above, to the far distant shore. Many friends have gone from me. They're singing the victory of God's love I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be led by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and low. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, and I know that my soul will be free from all care. They'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rolls call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all care. They'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rolls call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. Footprints of Jesus that makes the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever He go. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come follow me. And we see where the footprints falling lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that makes the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Though they lead o'er the cold dark mountains, seeking His sheep, or alone by Siloam's fountains, helping the weak. the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and the lowly, serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that makes the pathway glow. We will follow the step of Jesus wherever they go. Though, dear Lord, in that pathway keeping, we follow Thee. Through the gloom of that place of weeping, guide shame and me. But Prince of Jesus, that makes the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. In thy way and its sorrow bearing, we go again. Up the slope of the hillside bearing our cross of pain. Footprints of Jesus that makes the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Even by through the shining portals, turning our feet, we shall walk with the glad immortals, heaven's golden street. Footprints of Jesus that makes the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Then at last when on high He sees us, our journey done, we will rest with the steps of Jesus and at His throne. Footprints of Jesus that makes the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. That's where it starts. Follow the word.
Mm-hmm.
Footprints of Jesus. It'll take you to the right place if you can only follow the word. That's why we're doing the new year today, because it's following the word. Our life has rhyme and reason. There's no future in a January 1 New Year. It's worshiping the devil. People don't know that. They're worshiping Satan. Same with that Christmas. It's just Satan knows how to weave all that stuff in there. So people worshiping the devil and they don't even know it. That's why we're so fervent on staying with the word. The truth keeps marching on.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing to have truth, but the next thing to hold on to it.
Yeah.
Because it's always pressing in with his deception.
Our life has rhyme and reason. There is absolutely no rhyme and reason. That's why we do the new year, because it has rhyme and reason. It mm-hmm. makes sense. It's scripture. God set it up. God did it. He didn't just put these things out there just to take up space. He told the children of Israel, the first new moon after the spring equinox, and that is today. Today determines the new year. For the next year, till the next spring equinox, and then we'll do the same thing again if we're still here. And we'll do the new year again according to the scripture. Our life has rhyme and reason. Our life has purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy gain me, let an end and joy for mine and hands to stain. Kine, kine, sailor bring it. Keine einzige Garben sehen. Möse gehen mit leeren Händen, Möse so vor Jesu stehen. Kann ich keine Seele bringen, keine einzige Garben sehen. Jesus hat mich ja erlesen, mich schreckt nicht. Die Todes nah, aber leer vor ihn erscheinen, das ist was mich traurig macht. Muss ich gehen mit leeren Händen, muss ich schon vor Jesus stehen, kann ich keine Seele bringen, keine einzige Garben sehen. Kehrten die verdorbenen Jahre nur noch einmal mehr zurück. Fehlen einen froh zu wirken, wäre dann mein ganzes Glück. Muss ich gehen mit leeren Händen, muss ich so vor Jesus stehen, kann ich keine Seele bringen, keine einzige Garben stehen. Like that guy I'm telling you about from Sunnyside, that old mama. 2 weeks out from dying, and he realized all of a sudden he had done a thing for the Lord. All he did was work in that colony. That's not doing nothing for the Lord. You realize that. That's just the business. That my cousin, that Paul from Longfield, died yesterday. And I asked myself, what did he do for Jesus? What did he do for the Lord? His whole demeanor was, he put another set of broilers through. I remember about 10 years ago, bragging about, he's still pretty active. He just ordered another set of broilers. That's his life. That was his life. Take it. That's all he was living for. Putting through, trying to prove to everybody, he's putting another set of broilers through. I remember that. And what purpose is that of the scale of eternity?
Mm-hmm.
And they like to praise it to high heaven and all that stuff, maybe. I don't know where that, but I know what that Hutterite thing is. It's just the materialistic world that we have no part of that. It's just the bottom line. Pretty sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have to have the best of the best.
Oh, man, dear, their stuff is, the best ain't even good enough. No safe place to stand.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the condition of the world is right now. No safe place to stand. No matter where you go. We hear about the war. We see the famine in the land. There's questions in the children now. Trouble in the east again. The whole world is shaking with no safe place to stand. And the mournful sounds are heard throughout the land. But I keep listening for a different sound. The sound of the city that John saw coming down. The sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening.
I remember the preacher saying, Son, it shall come to pass, there'll come a generation that will be the last. I can't believe I'm standing here to see the end of time. And the preacher's voice still echoes in my mind. But I keep listening for a different sound. The sound of the city that John saw coming down. The sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound. I remember the preacher saying, Son, it shall come to pass. There'll come a generation that will be the last. I can't believe I'm standing here to see the end of time. And the preacher's voice still echoing in my mind. But I keep listening for a different sound. The sound of a city that John saw coming down. The sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound.
The whole world is shaking with no sure place to stand. Mm-hmm. That's what you see out there. We only look around. The people, they push their head in the sand.
That's right. That's the problem.
You're ignorant. You don't want to take responsibility for the hour we're living in. We're living in the end time. This is the last call. This is it. We're trying to keep it alive, but they try to make us irrelevant. Everybody where you look, everybody that knows, they try to make us irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Try to make us, we don't breathe, we don't count. And that's the environment that you're living, the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age. That's what the devil is out there. To make anything that's of God, to make it irrelevant. And then you can see at the end of it all, at the end of the day, just before Jesus comes, they're going to try to make war with him that's coming back. Because it's not no more back in prior to the Dark Ages. The world is not going into the Dark Ages. Mm-hmm. If the devil had to say so, he would erase every bit of Christian. And you can see it. You can see it throughout the, mm-hmm. when you just turn on the news. We went on to watch the Fox News this morning. Here's that Joe Rogan, that idiot, trying to come against Trump for that war over in, mm-hmm. Iran. For trying to stop Iran from declaring a nuclear bomb so they can keep the whole world in hostage.
I don't understand how these people think. You know, I was thinking about that this morning. You know, you're dealing with barbarians. You're not dealing with civilized people here. You're dealing with barbarians, and they will not stop until they have destroyed the whole world. And America, like it or not, has a responsibility, because they're the world power. Mm-hmm. They have an obligation and a responsibility, because if they don't do that, then this whole world is going to go collapse, you know. But God is not allowing it. That's why he raised up Donald Trump. People don't understand that. And people who are anti-Trump and haters of Trump, they will not meet a good end. And that's why you should actually be grateful when you get up in the morning for Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't agree with everything about Franklin Graham, you know, and that aspect. But, you know, he's got a lot of things right. You know, people should be grateful and thankful about Trump. He says, I love Trump, you know, and the devil wants to come in and create division. Like this picture now that's floating around. To me, it didn't bother me at all. I don't know, people are up in arms, but I think it's the self-righteousness in people that are up in arms about that image, that AI image about Trump portraying as a doctor. He says he's a doctor helping people, and you know that's the mentality of Trump. You know, he'd like to help people, and you know, but America has a responsibility. And I don't understand how these people think, you know. If America would not be doing what they're doing, they would be invaded eventually.
Oh, yeah, the devil. He's like that Joe. He's got billions of followers. He's got very influential. But I'll guarantee you one thing. After he made that statement today, Trump has a lot more people than Joe Rogan has.
That's right.
Joe Rogan is just a fly-by-night. Uh-huh. He has nothing inspiration. I sometimes listen, nothing inspiration about a guy that would move your heart. Yeah, he might have millions of followers, but now he's setting the stage for all around the world because he's got millions of people listening. Mm-hmm. But see, what's going to do is people are going to get away from him because he's anti-war. He would love to give Iran a nuclear bomb. That's the bottom line here. And give him the right to hold the whole world hostage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Trump is stepping in, rightly so.
Exactly.
Now, he came out and made a statement, started cursing about Trump for that war, the most useless war going. He's got no brains, the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd he get his brains from? From some garbage dump? Because, yeah, he might have lots of followers. You see, that's just the trend of society.
Exactly.
That's just the world we're living in. Make everything that has a rhyme and a reason to make it irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. But see,
right.
We know the hour we're living in. We are trying to make Satan irrelevant and all these that follow him.
Mm-hmm.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Well, Happy New Year. Kind of strange, eh, when you look around. People think we're crazy having a New Year today. You want to read that where it says open, where that New Year is, the Bible says what the new, about the New Year, where to start it?
It's Exodus 12.
What does it say?
This month is to be your beginning of months. It will be your first month of the year.
Does it say where the spring equinox or anything about that?
No, that it doesn't quite put that into words. Just that the month of Abib, and on this day in the month of Abib, you are going out. So that's when they went out from
Egypt.
And,
yeah.
But the beginning of months is really, when you will look it back, you have to take the spring equinox.
Oh,
otherwise,
yeah.
You don't have no set system what to take.
See, that sets all the stages for all the rest of the the feasts. You gotta use common sense here. It's not written in stone that it's the first year, the first new moon after the spring equinox. But the Passover is determined by that new moon. You do not have a Passover just any old time of the year, like the world They had the paths over here. There was not even no sign of no paths over according to the moon.
Yeah.
You go according to the scripture. That's why at the end of the day, footprints of Jesus. We're following the scripture. We're following the word. Our life has a rhyme and a reason. You know what I'm saying? It's backed up with the scripture.
Yeah, that's why you have to take something definite, like the spring equinox. That's something definite.
Yeah.
That you don't have to guess. And when you take the spring equinox and then you take the first new moon, and then the first full moon is then the Passover, and then you can, all the other feasts will fall in line. Like right after the Feast of Passover, there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is 7 days. And all that has a representation of something. And then you come to the Feast of the First Fruit, which happened on the first day of the week, on Sunday when Jesus was resurrected. All these played a part why God told the children of Israel to take these feasts and have them every year, because they painted and pointed to a greater picture. And in every feast there is a story behind it. This is the day where you're going to have it, but it points to a greater picture, like just like that Feast of Passover. It was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had it for 1400 years when they came out of Egypt. For 1400 years, that's why when you will take it into the month setting, it's 14 days after the new moon. But 1400 years they had it until you came to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and everything that we say and do, they have rhyme and reason. There's no purpose going out there celebrating a new year on January 1 at the dead of winter. See, it used to be, I think up until maybe 1200, after the year 1200, I think around that time they did the new year in March. And then the beast. We know who the beast is. The beast is the Vatican. The Catholic Church, then it said that God will give the Catholic Church the power to change times and seasons. And what he did, he went, the Catholic Church, the Vatican, they went and took that March New Year, just like, and just threw it back there somewhere in January 1. Because just behind it, you got to see the spirit of Satan behind everything. Mm-hmm. He wants to hide that true New Year. He wants to hide everything so he don't know the hour we're living in. Days and messages we got out here about the hour we're living in, because we tapped into something. We tapped into the scripture where we found out where we are in time. And midnight cry, that's all we've been taking up our energy. We resign from everything now and put our faces a flint towards this word, so that the hearing is in time. There has got to be somebody with a truth that has rhyme and reason. The things we see, they have rhyme and reason. Just because everybody out there that knows us, they're trying to work overtime to make us irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So see, it doesn't matter what people say, do, or think. But that's not our motivating factor. Our motivating is to stay with that word. And today it just so happens to be the new year, and it's going to set the stage for all these feasts throughout the year till next year. And you got the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that the people don't even know what they mean. They represent that for 7 church ages, that's why it's 70, for 7 days they were not allowed to have leavened bread in their homes. Not even eat it, not even partake of it, but it represents something. It represents that for 7 church ages, and we're in the 7 church ages, now you do not partake of false doctrine. That leavened bread that he talks about, leaven in the bread, that means false doctrine, false baptism, a false teaching, a false idea that right thing is it, false religions out there. And they were given the commission that for 7 church ages, throughout the crazy, there shall be no false doctrine preached. That's such a thing as water baptism and the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's Paul, that partaking of leavened bread, and he that partakes of that leavened bread, his soul will be put out from the commonwealth of Israel. Back in the old, and you can read it back coming through the, back in the Old Testament. Now, God commissioned him, people, do not partake of leavened bread. And there they're doing it wholesale, left, right, and center. All these churches out there, every spring of the year, or some of them do it every Sunday. They go out there and they partake of the communion in an unworthy manner, not realizing what they're doing. And see, we're keeping the line on the truth. There's got to be somebody on planet Earth here in these closing days that is relevant, that stays with the program, that where it makes rhyme and reason. The things we say and do, they make rhyme and reason. They make sense because the thing around us is they, what the devil is doing. He's trying to make you and I irrelevant. Oh, don't listen to this guy. Oh, they're crazy. But you know what they're doing today? They're having their New Year today. And completely off the mainstream, off all the mainstream media kind of thing, what everybody's doing. You put on your internet, you will not find nobody that has a New Year today. Well, you and I are doing it because it's via the scripture. That's what we're doing here. Father, we give you thanks for another day of life and the many things you do for us, Lord. Just to give us this word of truth here in this closing day of the time. I just pray you continue to give us the grace that we'll be found faithful to do what you've called us out to do, Lord. That things have to make rhyme and reason. You've given us the understanding of your word, of the scripture, of the day and hour we're living in. There's only one thing left that we can do, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been so good to us. You've given us the understanding of your word, and we don't care about nothing else. We don't care what people say, Lord. Thank you. You've given us the mandate, and you've given us the understanding of it, and we just want to give you thanks and pray, Lord, that you keep us faithful and true until right to the very end, Lord. We know there's still some rough road ahead of us because the devil is trying to make us irrelevant, trying to make everything we say irrelevant. But, Lord, you know we're just trying to follow you, do our level best to follow your word, and you're the one, and Lord, to be guided by that of your eyes, Lord. We pray, Lord, to give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Anyway, that's what we're about today. Happy New Year. Because it determines everything throughout for the next year. That's why we think the lessons gain a trade. And, you know, asking the Lord to bless us for the next year and giving thanks that he's kept us healthy and safe. And, you know, most of all, that we didn't follow false doctrine and he's kept us for the last year. Now we just ask for grace to continue on for the next year, because we don't know what all is going to transpire the next year. A lot of things happened last year that we didn't know what's coming, but here we are in the closing day of the time, and if we're still here next year, we'll just keep doing the same thing. We'll wait for that spring equinox, and then we'll have the new year exactly the first new moon after the spring equinox, and that's the way it's going to be throughout the millennium. And the millennium age, they're going to just be doing what we're doing. They're going to stay with the word. And we're setting the standard for the millennium because somehow, for some reason or other, somebody has to be down here on planet Earth to set the standard on these closing days that when that millennium comes, it'll just continue on over on to the millennium. That's why the things that you and I are saying, they have rhyme and they have reason. We know exactly where we are in time. Right to the day. You can take it to the bank because it's all via the scripture. There's no, we didn't have a prophecy or a speaking in tongues or all that stuff. We went via the word because the word of God at the end of the day is the only thing that's going to stand. Mm-hmm. When the final books are written, that's, you know, right. And that's what we're holding on. We're holding on to the scripture because it says the first new moon after the spring equinox, and that just happens to be today. I just comes up on your phone here and on the Weather Channel, and you look, and then you see the moon, and then you see there's zero. When you go look at the moon at night, there's zero. You won't see no moon out there today, mm-hmm, because it's a new moon. It's completely hit. There's zero illumination off the moon today.
And
that determines the new moon.
And you can find a history of where that January 1 originated from. Like, you can trace it back to Rome. And like, the first time they had a January 1 was with Julius Caesar at 45 B.C. That's when they first brought it in within the Roman calendar. But everybody else, they still, like the Jews, they still had their the month of Nisan. And then you come to 1582 when the Pope Gregory the 13th, he introduced it into the religious element of society. And that's why all around the world, like Christians or pagans, whatever, it's the same holiday, celebrate January 1. And when you trace it back, it actually, they say it is the month of beginnings for, let's say Rome was founded January 1. And that's, they're celebrating the god Junius, the god of beginnings. And they think, like when, let's say the Roman god, when you will look at the fourth beast that Daniel saw, that they're saying January 1 was the beginning of, I guess you could say, the beginning of that god mm-hmm. being founded. And that's what the January 1, when you will trace it back, where it comes from. Like, there's always something that brings it about. January 1 was celebrating the beginning, the god of Genius. And then they brought it into society, into the religious society, because Roman Catholicism took control of the world. Mm-hmm. And then you, Pope Gregory, he's the one that brought it into then the Christian world. And that's what they're celebrating. But when you take it to the Bible, it's going to stay the same. God has a reason why he has the month of Abib for the beginning of months. And you can see that, with the moon and the sun being out of relationship with the sun, you see that there are more days, 5 1/4, that the time is out, 5 1/4. And even, I would say, the moon is out too. If you would look at the Jewish people, they, if you would take a calendar of 30 days, and times 12 will give you 360 days, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a perfect climate. Yeah. That was in the world
before the flood.
It was after the flood, at the flood, when it was thrown out of its relationship, the earth and probably the moon as well, because it seems like there is also something quite not right with the moon, because the cycle is 29 and a half days. And the same way with the earth, you have 5 1/4 days every year. And that's why it looks like it's so long this year with the spring equinox, and because it adds 5 1/4 day every year. And like the Jewish people, they add a month every 4 years, I believe, because they don't go by the solar calendar, they go by the lunar calendar.
See, the bottom line is, it's all, this new year in January is all paganism. Mm-hmm. First class paganism,
right,
brought on by the popes. And we know the popes are agents of Satan, and the whole Catholic Church is nothing but an agent of Satan. And now the whole world has adopted the Roman system, mm-hmm. and now that makes them these harlots. That's all, that church world system is out there. It's completely first class harlotry and paganism, everything that's connected with Roman Catholicism and these harlots and these churches. And we keep telling people that they think we're blessing, but we're just holding on to the truth that's been given to you and I. To hold on to the truth, for the church say, the Laodicea, God sent the prophet, and he sent that chief apostle. And then here he qualified you and I to hold the line on the truth. Yeah, it's not that easy, but it's something that God has given us the responsibility to hold on to the truth. And you could go right back into history. Like I say, before the flood, there was there was 360 days to the year, because the sun was a little bit, the earth was a little bit closer to the sun, because God had a plan for mankind. He wanted everybody to live in harmony, but as he watched things unfold, he saw the direction mankind is going, and then he brought in a flood, and during that flood, something happened to the planet, that the planet was thrown away from the sun a certain degree. Now there's going to be winter. Before the flood, there was no winter season. There was no, the whole planet and the whole, all the ice caps and everything was starting to melt. It was only after the flood, when the planet was moved away from the earth to a certain degree, now that you get now these forces, now you got winter. And then, and the millennium, the planet, during that, when the day of the Lord, when the earth will rock to and fro like a drunk man, what's going to happen? Somehow God will just move the earth, the planet earth, a little, a few degrees closer to the sun, and you can take it to the bank. You're going to find out in the millennium, there's only going to be 360 days to the year. Thereby, that what's that going to create? It's going to create all these ice caps. The North Pole is going to melt, and all these ice caps, and all these glaciers and everything, they're all going to melt away. And eventually, as time goes on, at the end of the millennium, there'll be no more sea. But it'll take a 1,000 years for all this to develop. It's not going to, God's not going to snap his fingers and all of a sudden, there you have this perfect planet. It'll take a 1,000 years to slowly, bit by bit, and then at the end of it, all these glaciers are gone. You'll have all, you won't have this vast north that we got here in Canada, where all is snowed and the wintertime is frozen and it's uninhabitable. You won't have that. Everything will be habitable throughout the millennium. By the time the millennium is over, the planet will be full of people in every corner of the world. But the North Pole, there'll be people growing grass. And,
because
it's just simple. It's just that simple. Because of what the Adam and Eve brought upon the human race by choosing to go the devil's way. But now the devil's on his way out. He's only got 2 more years left. 2.5 years, I think, to be exact. And that's all he's got left. Then his 6,000 days are numbered. And then he goes into hell. And then here, the planet keeps on going. And all those people that's going to be found worthy to escape and worthy to go into that millennial reign to rejuvenate it for the age of regeneration. The Bible calls it the age of regeneration. When the planet is going to be regenerated back to exactly where it was before Adam and Eve fell. Before it was back in the Garden of Eden. It was, everything was a perfect environment. The animal kingdom, they were not wild, and everything is going back to that, because the Bible says in the millennium the lion will eat straw like the ox, and a little kid is going to talk to the lion and out to the bear and all that stuff. That's coming up the road here, and we're just putting everything out there because we're trying our level best to stay with the Word, to stay in the confines of Scripture, and everything that we say, they have a rhyme and a reason. That's why we're putting in all our effort on a daily basis to put people, give people notice. This is where it's at. And if you don't follow that, then you've got something else for you. But you're not going to be part of that nucleus of people that go to the mercy of the flood if you don't believe, if you don't go along with what the Bible says. It's not even what we're saying. It's what the Bible has. This picture portrayed out of here, like that guy that he just died yesterday, that my cousin, that Paul, I tried time and time again. I couldn't even talk to the man. And when did I talk to him? I don't know what's wrong with that family there. They're my cousins, but there's such a big gap. Every time I try to talk to them, they thought it's their duty to make fun of me, to humiliate me. It's just the way it is. And, you know, after a while, you learn to realize there's nothing you can do with them. They'll just go do their thing. A very proud family they are. I don't know what they got to be proud about. At the end of the day, they're really nothing, you know. And see, that's why we're putting all our effort in to try to keep people on course. Like I say about that guy that here in Sunnyside, that old woman. He comes to 2 weeks to live. The doctor gave him 2 weeks to live, and he's lamenting that he has done nothing for the Lord. And rightly so, because that's the whole Hutterite trend. That's all they're doing. They're living for materialism. It's just that simple. But we decided we don't want no part of it. We heard about all these things. We heard about that guy that from Forest River County that had out of the buddy experience. And he came back and tried to warn people. But see, people are so intoxicated, they're drunk with the wine of that religious fornication, that even the man that was dead for 17 minutes, and he came back and told them that this is nothing but first-class deception, and it's because they're drunk with the wine of that religious fornication. They love to be deceived. They love to be led down the wrong path, and he had no impact on it whatsoever. And we just try to keep it alive, what that man said, and then that guy here in Sunnyside, he comes in 2 weeks to live, and he realized he had done that for the Lord. And see, these things speak to our hearts. If you only got ears to hear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what it says. And we're just gleaning from what these people had to go through, and we're trying our level best to keep this thing alive.
And that's what, like, when you will look at the word regeneration, it means to bring back and to restore and to be reborn. Mm-hmm. See, that's what this planet is going to do in the millennium age. That's why God has a program, and the millennium is to bring it all back to its original state. Mm-hmm. And then, because you can see at the flood, it was thrown out because of sin. Everything has to be redeemed back. Mm-hmm. And then even the whole, like the deep were opened up, and then the waters came down, and that water has to go back to where it was above the firmament to create that perfect climate that was before the flood. And you can see that in the millennium, that is the purpose of that millennium reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to conquer sin. See, all that happened as a result of sin. And when sin is going to be conquered in the millennium, these things will be renewed and restored. And it's going to take 1,000 years to do that.
I have to believe that water that's in the ocean right now, I believe some of it or a lot of it is going to go back up to the moon, because in the millennium, the moon is 7 times brighter. Now, you put a bunch of water around the moon, and then when the sun hits the moon, it's like a mirror, you know, it's 7 times brighter, and that I have to believe that water has to go somewhere.
Wonder, yeah.
You kind of wonder about it. I'm not saying for sure, but at the end of the millennium, there'll be no more sea. Well, where's that water at? Mm-hmm. It's got to go somewhere. And they say when they take soil samples, they said there was water up here in the moon at one time. Mm-hmm. They were up there at one time back in the 60s, and they took samples, and at one time there was water on the moon. Well, that would make sense, because The moon regulates the tide, you know. And it's like, I almost saw it one time, the moon, I want my water back, I want my water back, I want my water back. That's what controls the tide. And then when the moon is at a certain place, the tide gets up, and it's really, everything makes sense. The moon and the perfect world is going to get his water back. But right now, he's just begging and pleading, I want my water back, I want my water back. It's just, like it says, the whole creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And that whole creation wants everything back to where it was before the fall. Because the fall brought all that. Sin brought all that with it. But see, we're right on the verge of the beginning. Well, we're already beginning of the restoring of all things. But first of all, Israel has to be restored. And then you can see over in the book of Daniel, all these things will be removed. Mm-hmm. All these curses that God put on the human race, they're all going to be removed, and it's going to begin to be the regeneration of all things. And we're living in a very exciting time. We have no reason to give up and to think that Satan has everything under control. Even about these Joe Rogans and these Tugs and these no-brainers, they come out and now they're cursing about Trump for that war over in Iran. You're going to give them idiots and these maniacs a nuclear bomb so they can keep the whole world hostage? He just showed up just in time to put them out of commission. Otherwise, they would have held the whole world at hostage.
Amen.
They're a bunch of little lunatics. Mm-hmm. They're controlled by Satan, just like Hitler. But see, you can't let you give like Trump. You gotta. He's responsible because he's the world power now. He's responsible to keep these countries exactly where they need to be.
Yeah, if Trump would have his way, he would actually not be involved in any war. But America has a responsibility, and that's why they're doing it. And these people are agents of Satan. They speak for him to create division. Mm-hmm. If they would have any ounce of common sense, they would realize that regime is not stopping at nothing. They want death to America and they want death to Israel. And that's their thing. They always say the little Satan and the big Satan. And I don't understand where these people are coming from. Just because we had peace and prosperity here in North America for the last number of years, century, and these people think that it's not going to come on their doorstep. It's right at their doorstep. Trump is just holding it back.
Yeah, it's God's hurrying it up, and there's going to be a civil war here in America, and everything's going to go back because the regeneration of all things has begun. Mm-hmm. Everything that Satan, that the fall brought with it, it's all going to be taken care of.
That's
it'll
right.
take, like I say, it'll take 1,000 years, and then it's going to be that glorious utopia that everybody wants to have. But you got to go through suffering, and you got to go through the proper challenge. And you and I, we're just going about our Lord, going about the Lord's business, and everything we said, they have rhyme and reason. We just celebrate the New Year today because it's the decent thing to do. Anybody that's sensitive, that's awake, he'll do the same thing. Because, we see a lot of things going on in the world. We see that Fort Pitt up there. You know, they're trying to create some kind of a utopia up there, and now they got a huge conference and a huge get together where they try to improve things a little bit. But see what it is. The Bible says you don't put new wine into an old skin, because what's going to happen, that wine is going to run away and the skins will bust. And that's all they're doing. They're just trying to patch up an old system, an old water right system, and trying to put their new wine, if they have any wine at all, they're trying to put it into that old water right system.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to divorce yourself. You've got to put that in your rearview mirror. That anything that even smells like water right.
Amen.
Because it's all controlled by Satan. It's all based on Roman Catholicism. First-class communism. That's what that Fort Pitt cult is up there. And you know, if you want to start something new, you got to go back to the things that the scripture
exactly.
speaks. You got to go back to the fact that God sent the prophet at the beginning of Laodicea.
Mm-hmm.
And the story. If you want to go out there and be another Fort Pitt or another Elmendorf or whatever, all these movements are there, they ain't going anywhere because it's not built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and here in this closing day, we got our, for later, we got our church age method, Brother Brennan. And if you build anything other than that, it will not flourish. It'll going to be destroyed because it's not built on solid rock. It's built on sand. Anything outside of the God sending a prophet and the chief apostle that the church age of later said, because you just go back and read the book of Revelation. See what became of all that of the church age of Laodicea. It became dead. It became naked. It became blind. How could anything like that produce anything? And then he said, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold. And that gold that he's talking about is the ministry of Brother Branham and the ministry of Brother Jackson. And if you inject that into your life, you're gonna have an expected end. Outside of that, you ain't going anywhere. I don't care how long a beard or how good a cloak you got on and how good it looks, you ain't going anywhere. By the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Just that simple.
That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we give you thanks that you've given us your word, because that your word is our road map, Lord. Because we have an adversary out there that wants to take everything away from us, Lord, but we want to remain steadfast on your word and what you have allowed us to see. like the psalmist wrote, thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, Lord. And that's why we love your word, Lord, because it makes us stand on a sure foundation. And we know at the end of our days we're going to have something because it's built on a solid rock. Not on those false pagan days of ideologies, Lord, that do not represent anything. But we go according to your word, like that new year is according to your word, the first new moon after the spring equinox. And that brings in the year. As you told the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, that is the beginning of months, Lord. And we just want to follow your word, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, give us the grace, Lord, to continue on, Lord, and to and be steadfast and not be intimidated by anything that people do or say. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.